Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and for your word. Lord, we pray. Oh, I thank you for this chapter, for this book, for your scripture, for your word. Lord, how foolish it is for us as mere creatures of dust to think that we can read and explain this, that we actually understand your heart and your message behind this, apart from your Spirit. And Lord, that we will be able to communicate it to your people apart from your Spirit, and that they will be able to receive it apart from you. We are foolish creatures. Only you can do this, Lord. Only you can take the message. Only you can grant repentance. Only you can change lives and hearts. Only you can do this. Lord, we pray, do this here today. You do this work. You help illuminate your word, your scripture. Teach us. Grant repentance. And Lord, in the areas of our lives that we need to be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, you do that. You do the work that brings you the most glory this day for you, Lord, for your kingdom's sake, for your name. And as the young lady prayed today, we ask this in our brother's name, Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 31, glorious, wonderful, very short chapter, 9 verses. It's still part of the woes where he has taught, where he's talking directly to his people. He's not talking to those outside the family. He's talking to his church, his people. He's calling them and addressing them personally. And he's saying to them, woe is this because you've done this. And so these 6 chapters, and we're on the 4th one. We got 2 more, 32 and 33. He's personally addressing his people. So in chapter 31, as you can see from your outline, if you received one, I forgot. I showed up this morning and forgot all about it. And we got it. The title is, Why Should We Trust the Lord? Why should we trust the Lord? What's the reasons that we should do this? Every one of us face trials and dilemmas, struggles. Everybody in this room, in the sanctuary, today, we are all facing, in different degrees, a circumstance, a struggle, a trial that we're facing in our lives. As I was sharing just a minute ago about my own family, you guys were thinking of your family, weren't you? Every one of you. Different people, different things, different circumstances. Probably the happiest person in this room is Chelsea, because she's about to get married. And she was even thinking about trials and struggles that she's facing. Every one of us have a situation and a struggle in our lives. Every one of us. How we go about dealing, and if I can say this, we try to solve these problems, right? How we do that matters. How we go about solving problems matters. Now, I'm going to be real careful here, okay? Because there are some of us, and I'm not going to point out any gender things, but some of us manipulate and manipulate people to what they think is best. Some of us use brute strength to push things through, and fortitude and grit. Some of us use our intellect. Some of us, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways in which we use tools that we're, and all of us have a toolbox that we use. All of us. To get our way or to solve problems. How we do this matters before God. Do you hear me? And so how we solve or how we try to solve our problems matters to the Lord. And do we do it in our own ways? A lot of times we do it in our own ways. I would say, truly, if we were honest, most of the time, it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of praying and a lot of walking with the Lord to learn how to do it the Lord's way instead of jumping to our own ways. And sometimes, as we're learning, we will jump and start our own, and we learn to stop ourselves and go, wait, I'm not doing it this way anymore. This is not right, right? Y'all are tracking with me, right? Okay. No matter the circumstances that we may face, we tend to lean on our own understanding, on our own reasoning, on our, some of us, listen to me, on our own emotional state. There is a lot of hurt in this room. And sometimes we react from the past, right? In dealing with things in the future. I do that. I do that all the time. Anger issues, emotional issues, insecurities, all those issues, those things are things of the past. But we still react and live out of those things, those emotions. And we try to solve problems through past experiences, understandings, wisdom, knowledge, our own strength. We try to solve issues through those things. Whether our troubles, as I've said, are emotional, some of them are financial, some of them are, which are emotional, love-related, marital-related, some of them are health-related, just physical hardships, social issues, family issues, we can go on and on. No matter what the troubles are, we often try to solve them on our terms. On our terms. Then, when they get deeper and more troubling and worsen, we wonder why. And it's a lot of times the Lord takes us through these steps and He's like, I love you and you're my child, but you're refusing to rely on me. I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to let you be involved. I'm going to let you do it your way. And He will let us solve problems. And they never get fixed, right? They just keep happening and keep. And the Lord uses this and teaches us and guides us in this. In this chapter, and what we've been dealing with for 31 chapters, really, but in Isaiah 31, the prophet is very clear. It's really, this chapter is quite simple. The message to Judah to, now remember, he's in Jerusalem and he's speaking directly to the faithful. But this message that he's proclaiming is quite timeless. And it's a message not just for them at that time. I'm telling you, this chapter is a message for you and I. I'm sad that this place isn't packed out, because today's message will help you. I pray it will help you. I hope we grow together today. I hope you're broken. I do. I hope that you're challenged, but I pray more than anything that you leave today going, I need to make changes in my life, in how I make decisions, in what we do in our lives. I need to make changes. God Almighty, hear me. I'm gonna say something so simply, so simple but so powerful. God Almighty is the only Savior to His people. Hear me. God Almighty is the only Savior to His people. If that statement is true, what does that mean? Truly, what we're small. What does, if that statement, if that is true in all circumstances, in any trouble, in any struggle, in anything, if that statement, God Almighty is the only Savior to His people, what does that mean for you and I? Always. First. Go to Him. With everything. Only. What is it? Why is that such a hard principle for God's people to learn? Listen, and it's not just y'all. It's been like that since redemptive history. That's what we're about to look at in this chapter. If He is the only Savior to His people, then why don't we press into Him all the time? Now, sometimes, y'all know this. Sometimes He breaks you down so badly, that's the only place you have to go. Right. There are sometimes He loads your little red wagon so much that you go, Lord, there's nowhere else to go. But why don't we do that all the time? Absolutely. Yeah, and we're about to see that. Listen, God has blessed this country. He has blessed you guys so much. We don't need God. Financially, I know you're thinking, preacher, you're not me, not us. Yes. Do you know that in America, more money is spent, are you ready for this? On Halloween costumes for animals. Hear me. Halloween costumes on animals than the church spends on third world missions. That should make us repent right now. There is no Savior for God's people. And that, listen, if God is sovereign and you're going through a struggle, do you think that struggle came absent or apart from God allowing that into your life? Really? Nothing. And it's never for no purpose. Never. Listen, you need to get this principle. You've heard me say this, but you need to grind it in your heart. Nothing, if you are a child of God, nothing comes into your life that does not pass through nailed, scarred hands. So when you're going through that, one of the first questions you need to ask is, Lord, what are you doing? What in my life? Why is this here? But you know what a lot of us try to do? We just want it gone. We just want to skirt it. We want to move on instead of embracing it. And saying, Lord, do whatever you need to do in my life for your honor and glory. I want to honor you more than I want to honor me. More than I want to be happy. More than I want to do this. I want your glory to be shown in my life. Let me give you another statement you need to hear. I'm not even to the text yet. The Lord is putting all of His power and might to keep and preserve His truth in His people. Think about that. The Lord is doing all of redemptive history, He will do whatever He has to do to preserve. That's why we don't hold to once saved, always saved. We hold to perseverance of the saints. Because God is going to do what He needs to do in you, His people, to the very end. Right? Philippians 1:6. What He has started in you, He will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me, because my wife cringes every time I say this. It doesn't... You did not hear your pastor say, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. What you didn't hear me say is that anybody can pray a prayer, walk an aisle, and then they can go live like they want to live. That's not the gospel truth. The gospel truth is, if God has done a work in your life and brought you to salvation, you will never leave it. He will preserve you, and He will have all of His power and might to keep and move His kingdom to the very end. Amen? That's glorious. If you are a believer, woe to you if you trust in other things above Him. If you trust a spouse more than you trust God, woe is you. If you trust children or put your trust in children more than you trust Him, woe is you. If you trust yourself more than you trust Him, woe is you. If your pursuit in your life is happiness and you just want to be happy and above more than you pursue the holiness of God, woe is you. If you trust and put your trust in money more than Him, woe is you. In government, in knowledge, in strength, in anything. Amen? Woe is you. Woe, because you're going to be, it's to your demise. It's to your struggle and your strife. Because He's going to keep bringing things in. He is a jealous God. We are tempted to put our trust in so many other things that that we see in this world. In this chapter, again, King Hezekiah, y'all know who, one of the great kings of Israel, and all of his counselors were tempted to put their trust in Egypt, as we've been looking at, to save them from Assyria. And what's so foolish, as I've already shared, but y'all may not have been here, just a few years, like 20 years earlier than this, Assyria and Egypt met on the border of Egypt, and Assyria wiped them out. But Israel or Judah's so upset, and Hezekiah the king is worried, and all of his counselors that are trying to figure out how to solve this problem called Assyria, they go, the next biggest thing we know is Egypt. Let's team up with Egypt, and maybe God will give us favor, and we, because we're his people, maybe that was the missing link, and we'll defeat them. So they're thinking of all these things that they can do. But they haven't stopped to ask themselves one question. Why is Assyria coming to whip us? Which Isaiah's already answered that question 12 times. Do y'all know why Assyria's coming to whip them? They forgot their God. Do you know why America will be whipped? We have forgot our God. And so they're sitting there going, okay, let's figure this out and let's be wise and let's use all of our means and thoughts. And if you remember last week, well, it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago in chapter 30. Do you remember? They piled all the gold and silver they had and sent it into Egypt to buy it. Do y'all remember that? And so here we are, and Isaiah is standing up in front of Hezekiah, the council, and God, the faithful of God's people. And he's saying, you think Egypt's going to save you? You're not even thinking clearly. Anything that saves you outside of the Lord is a false salvation. Did you hear that? Write it down. Anything that saves you outside of the Lord is false. It's a false salvation. Right? It may pull you out temporarily. It may do that. It may relieve you. It may even help relieve the tension. You may catch a breath. It may do a lot of things. But hear me. It doesn't fix it permanently and definitely eternally. Right? And do you know what we settle on 9 out of 10 times? A temporary fix over an eternal fix. Even us. I mean, listen, we are a small group. Let's just be honest. We run so quickly to a temporary relief. And we go, and we are quick to go, praise the Lord. Lord, thank you. Than doing it right and having an eternal permanent relief. Right? Our fix, if you want to say that. So, we're almost to the text. I'm almost through my intro. The flesh, the world, the human fixes always have a hook. And here's the hook. Its payment is normally to you or your family's demise. Okay? When we rely on anything else other than the Lord in different things, when we do these things and we rely on worldly fixes, on human wisdom fixes, on emotional fixes, and we try, when we rely, there's payment that's going to be made. God is going to correct us through this. So, let's jump in and let's look at this. It'll be real quick, I think. Trust the Lord and not your schemes. Can I say this? Can we learn or try to learn? Let's don't trust ourselves. Let's learn how to trust God more and more and more. Amen? Let's learn how to not trust our own flesh. Let's learn not how to trust. Let's learn to press into the Lord and trust Him more and more. Trust His Word. When He says something, trust it, do it. Just be obedient. Trust Him. So first, in verse 1, the question is this, and you see it on your outline. What are you trusting most in? What are you trusting the most? Let's look at verse 1 in chapter 31. It says this, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help." And listen to what how he described. Listen to Isaiah's description here. "And rely on horses who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." Isaiah is rebuking them here for going again. He's doing it. He's saying, look, you're going down and you're looking for an easy way out of this. You're trusting and putting your security in this that the Lord has not provided for you. Hezekiah, I want you to know this, during this, and y'all, if you know a little bit about the history of Israel, you know this. Hezekiah was cleaning up Judah. He was tearing down all the high places, all the Asherah poles. He was ripping them down. He was purifying the worship in Israel. They were reading the scriptures. Hezekiah was calling the nation to repent. This is a good king. He's leading his people rightly. And yet, he's gripped with fear. And he's relying on earthly means to solve a problem. Instead of going to the Lord and going, "Lord, what do we need to do?" I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting way ahead. His counselors were terrified. He was terrified of Assyria more, listen to me, more than he was terrified of God. I'm going to tell you this. As I was sitting last night, looking at my family, I was thinking, man, they're more scared of they're more scared of losing friendship with their children than they are friendship with God. Do you understand? That's because they put their children up higher than they do the Lord. They're worshiping. And so they're more concerned about their children than they are what God is asking them to do. I love my kids to death. And I've told them since they were little, your daddy will love you. I'll always love you. I'll help you. I will help you and help you. But your dad is going to follow the Lord, period. If you choose not to, you're leaving daddy, not daddy leaving you. Let's get it right. There. That was an amen from God. But do you know how hard that is for a dad to say that? To look at his children and say, I love you, but I'm not swaying for you or nobody. Period. But they were scared, and I get it. And even though he was doing all these great things, I get it, and we all understand it. We all get it. We're all human. So they thought the best thing that they can do was buy Egypt's Calvary. Let's buy it. We have the money. Let's just buy it. Let's spend them dough, and we'll make it all right. I'll tell you what, that's a principle that we need to learn in America. Money doesn't fix it. You can have a bunch of money, and as Haggai says, you can be putting your money in purses with holes in it. Anytime we trust in anything above the Lord, it deeply offends Him. We all do this in some manner. Our Father, your Heavenly Father, wants us to run to Him. Do you know that? Maybe why the Assyrians are coming in your life is because He wants you to run to Him. Amen? That might be the reason. Well, they're not listening any other way. I'm going to send the Assyrians. Maybe they'll run to me. Maybe they'll actually want me to help them. I want you to write these verses down. Psalm 34:7. These are not very familiar verses. Some of them aren't. But we're going to read them. And I want you to know them. Psalm 34:7, because I think they can help you. It says this: the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Amen? Listen. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. Capital H. And delivers them. That's good stuff. Amen? Y'all need to have that verse. Here's another one for you. Psalm 91. Psalm 91:1. 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's pretty cool. Right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Here's another one. Y'all are very familiar with the brother verse, John 10:10. Y'all could probably quote that right now. But there's an obscure verse that is in that same passage, John 10, that we often read through. John 10:28 says this. It's my sheep will hear my voice and I know them and they will follow me. That's verse 27. 28 says this. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That sounds bulletproof right there. Amen? Security. I'll take it. Sign me up. Here's another one that you are very, very familiar with. I'm going to wait to get there because I'm going to just read it because y'all are so familiar with it. But we need to read it. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that there is neither, listen to this list, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing that shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When times get hard, there's one answer. Press in to Jesus. When things get rough, you press into Christ. That's point number one. Number two, have you considered the credentials of your final options? We all do this. Everybody in this room, when we're faced with a crisis or circumstance or a struggle or a trial, we sit down, all of us do this and go, you weigh your options. How do I need to do this? What do I need to do? What are the options here? What if I did this? What if I did that? Hopefully, Lord, I hope you're talking to your spouse about that. If you're not, repent. I'm being serious. But hopefully you're talking to your spouse about it. Hopefully you're talking to other godly people about it. Right? Do y'all know how many decisions people make and they don't talk to godly people about? That's crazy. Why? Why? Are you really that smart? We do, absolutely. Are you really that smart? Well, God help you, right? But hopefully you're at least talking to your, I'm going to use the biblical word, helpmate. There's a reason it's called a helpmate. That you're discussing with them before you make your final decision. Hopefully you're talking to godly people. But more than that, I hope you're talking to God. And go into Scripture and say, what do I need to do about this? How do I need to do this? And hopefully your godly friends won't just try to save your feelings. And they, at the best, they'll say, hey, can I get back with you on that? Let me think about it. They may already know the answer. They may need the strength to say, God, give me the strength to tell my friend the truth. Nobody's going to amen on that. Because we love them, we don't want to hurt their feelings right off the bat. But hopefully you are seeking God's wisdom too, right? Man, y'all, I mean, do we need to just save this to next week? All right, so let's keep going. So we consider your final options. Everybody gets down and they boil it down to, okay, this is what I see we can do. A, B, C, D, E, whatever. Let's read this in verse 2 and 3. Well, I lost my place here. Yep, I did. Okay, hold on. Verse 2 and 3. Here it is. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster and will call back his words. but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now, the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. So he's saying, consider your final option here. In these verses, God is essentially saying, let's look at the resume here. Egypt, me. Egypt, me. Egypt, me. You're relying on this? Okay. This is what's going to happen. Those who help, Egypt, and those who seek help, my people, they will all fall. You're all going to fall. I'm going to correct everything. God, in His wisdom and truth, is infinitely above every human being. Romans chapter 11. Y'all, you guys know this, y'all. Romans 11. I'm going to read you just a few verses. Verse 33 through 36 says this. Oh, the depth of His riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. From who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has His first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be the glory forever. Amen. When times get hard, press harder into the Lord. Hezekiah and his counselors, they needed wisdom. They were trying to figure it out. Why not go to the Lord? James 1:5. Isn't that what it says? If you lack wisdom, ask the Lord. He will give it to you. What? Liberally. You can't even handle it all. Lord, what do I need to do in this situation? Lord, please help me. Buddy, He'll give it to you. It may not be what you want to hear, but He'll give it to you. It'll be overflowing. We need to hear this. So when they went to Egypt, and I want you to write this down and read it later today. In Isaiah 19... I have verse 11 through 17, but you can read that. But in Isaiah 19 that we've already covered, he was like, why are y'all going to Egypt? Really? You're going to go ask them for help and what they do? That's like turning on the TV and watching the Kardashians and going, you know, how should I live? Should I live like them? No wonder Bruce Jenner is a girl. He's lived with the Kardashians all of his life. You would be changing into a girl too. It's madness. It's crazy. But that's what we do. It's like going, I mean, read Isaiah 19. He's like, you're really going to Egypt? That's like going to a drunk walking around in his vomit. That he actually uses that illustration in there. He said, what? You're crazy. It's truly like us getting ideas from what I don't... y'all, It's like us getting ideas from the television or whatever people watch today. Flip-flop, slap face, Insta-scam, whatever media you want to use. It's like us getting our wisdom from that. What are y'all laughing at? Flip-flop, Insta-scam, slap face? I've got more. But it gets my point across. You're dumb for going to get wisdom from that. When we have this. And we have this. A family. That we can go, what do I need to do here? Verse 4 and 5. I can't even remember where I'm at. Verse 4 and 5. This is great. This is a wonderful picture. God looks out after His own. I want you to look at this imagery here. In verse 4 and 5 it says this. For thus says the Lord, as a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for the Mount of Zion and for His hill. Let's just stop. I want you to get this picture. Shepherds in that day, when a lion would attack one of the sheep, he would gather all the other shepherds and they would come banging on metal, making noise, trying to salvage whatever is left. If you remember, we've read part of this out of Amos, where I said God will pull a leg and a part of an ear. God is going to redeem, even if it's pieces of His people. He's going to redeem it. Do you remember that illustration out of Amos? And so the shepherds would, it doesn't matter if they were devouring that sheep. They're going to save as much of that sheep as they can. And this picture is a kind of a role reversal. The shepherds are the bad guys and God's the lion. And He's saying, listen, when God gets on something, He's not going to be deterred. It doesn't matter how many shepherds, how much noise they make. He's going to finish the job. Okay, verse 5. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Israel. Defending, He will also deliver it. Passing over, He will preserve it. You know, as I was doing my study this week, I remembered painting. Last year, we painted, we call it the boys' room. And I was way up in the eaves of the side of, other side of the our building, and I was painting. And man, this little bird, I don't even know what it was. I was way up on a ladder, like in the corner. And y'all probably don't know this about me. I hate heights. Like, I am really scared of heights. But I guess because I have a lot for gravity to pull down. But so I was up in and this bird was like, tearing me up. I was like, dang. And this bird was like this little, and I kept going. I was like, I'm going to swat. I was like King Kong on the, swatting at those planes. I was like, I'm going to tear this bird. I'm going to swat this thing down. And this thing was tearing me up. And I kept going, what in the world? And so I said, I got to get down before this bird is going to wind up killing me. So I got down off the ladder. And as I was getting down, paint bucket and brush and everything, I got down at the very bottom, the foot of the ladder, was this little teeny baby bird. And I went, that's why. That mama bird, it didn't matter how much of a giant I was, that bird was tearing me up. That's the picture here. God was saying, I don't care how big they look. I don't care how many come. I don't care how much noise they make. I don't care what. I'm finishing it. God protects His own. By the way, just so I can finish the story, because everybody always comes. I'll tell half a story and they're like, well, what happened to the baby bird? I didn't touch it because, you know, scent. And I got a little paper plate, and I got it on the paper plate, and I waited, and I found where that nest was, and I put the baby bird in the nest. And you know what happened? That mom was, I painted all day long, and she's just over there singing in a tree right behind me. That's the rest of the story, but it doesn't go with the sermon. Okay. Where was I? A picture of protection. He will fight for His people. This is a great point. Hardly anything in this world is more comforting than the realization that the battles that we face are the Lord's. I want you to write down two passages. The first passage you're way familiar with. As a child, David and Goliath, right? 1 Samuel 17. Right before the battle happens. Y'all, you guys even know what I'm going to read. Verse 47. David says this to all the assembly. I mean, the battle hasn't happened. And David says, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Amen? You, God is going to defeat you. He's going to give you into our hands. Amen. Sign me up. This one you probably are not familiar with, but you need to write it down. 2 Chronicles, verse 20. Man. 2 Chronicles, verse 20. I'm going to read verse 15 to you. This is Jehoshaphat. And all these different nations around Jerusalem was ganging up. They were building an army to come attack Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat and his counselors were worried and scared. Same situation that we're looking at with Hezekiah and Assyria. They were all gathering together. And this is what the prophets, God spoke. Jehoshaphat actually spoke first, and then the prophets spoke, the priests. And this is what they said in verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Amen? Okay, but I want to show you, Y'all, please go back and read this chapter, but I want to show you something so pretty, so wonderful. Just go back up to verse 3. Look at this. Look at verse 3. That's why I want you to go back and read this, okay? Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Ding, 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 ding. Seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. Verse 4. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Go down to verse 12. You should read Jehoshaphat's prayer. He prays after that. And then this is what it says. O our God, will not be judged. Will you not judge them? For we have no power. Look at this. We have no power against this great multitude that is coming, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Look, this is a whole nother sermon, but look at what he's saying. He's saying, God, we're weak. We can't do this. And look at what else he says. We lack wisdom. He says it. He says, we're weak and we don't understand. We don't know what to do. Amen. What does Scripture say? When we're weak, what? He's strong. When you lack wisdom, ask Him. He gives it. Guys, when are we going to learn? Hello? When am I going to learn? Okay, what are we going to do? Y'all need to hurry. I have 1 minute. What are we going to do? Verse 6 and 7. Return to Him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in the day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourselves. God is calling His people away from all this worldly securities, all that the Egyptians can offer. He's calling you away. Think about it this way. Let me think. You need to think clearly on this. Yes, the Assyrians are coming. Yes, the Egyptians have chariots and horsemen and might. Yes, you have money. Yes, you're God's people. It doesn't mean do it the worldly way. Why were the Assyrians coming in the first place? Because God's people had lost their first love. That's why the Assyrians were coming. God was calling them to repentance. Repent. But you know what the problem was? Israel thought they were okay. If you go back, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time. Go back to Isaiah chapter 1, the very first chapter. Isaiah tells them from the very beginning, you are assembling together. You're coming in to worship. You're keeping my holy feast. You're doing all this with blood on your hands. I didn't call you to worship like this. You come near to me, but your hearts are way away from me. He said that in Isaiah 29:13. Not just in Isaiah 1, but Isaiah 29:13. That you come near, but your hearts are way away. New hope, new hope. Hear me. I fear that for us. Do we draw near? Are we close? We may be so close. We may even be closer than most. But is your heart far from God? Last, the results of obedience. In verse 8 and 9, you see the fruit of obedience. Let's read it. Then Assyria shall fall by a sword, look, not of man. He's going to fall, but not by a sword made of man. And a sword not of mankind shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become forced laborers. So not only is he going to fall, not by war, not by a sword, not by another army, not by anything made of man, but his people are going to be in forced labor. Verse 9, and he shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, meaning he's going to run back to his home base out of fear. And his princes shall be afraid of the banner. They're going to see the banner, the name that's over his victor, the victors. But the end of verse 9 is the best, says the Lord. The princess will be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. There's three things very quickly. You've got to see this, and then we're going to pray and go home. Three things. Number one, the fruit of obedience. The first thing is this. We got to kind of go back to verse 7 to get all three. The first fruit of obedience is this. You get rid of all the idols in your life. The Lord's number one. He's number one above your children, your spouse, your money. He is first. He is Lord. Amen? That's in verse 7. So I cheated a little bit. Point number two. God will deliver you. Hear me. Hear me. God will deliver you from your enemies. Child of God, whatever you're facing, whatever it is, the Lord is your deliverer. Number three, and last, when number one happens, repentance and getting rid of idols, and number two happens, you know what he does? He builds a fire in Zion. Why do you build fires? To purify. The purifying presence of the Lord is in your midst. He doesn't leave you. He does this. Idols are gone. Enemies are gone. And he stays and is established in your life. Amen. All right. All of this to say this. As it was for Judah then, it's for you and I right now. Everybody
I wrote this down. I didn't know how small we would be today. Everybody in this room is facing a trial, our trials, that really exposes where your heart is. Do you know the trials that you have in life, the struggles, really shows your faith? It shows how much you trust the Lord. It's very easy for us as Christians in the U.S. to put our trust in so many other things other than the Lord, to lean on other things. Here's your answer. You ready? I want you to write it down. It's real simple. I'm going to give you a real answer. Here's your answer. You ready? Stop it. Stop it. Stop trusting in other things more than the Lord. Stop it. Just stop. Right? Repent. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. I know some of y'all are sitting there right now going, what does this mean? Because I need to make some corrections. Do it. Because I promise you, you want the burning fire in Zion, then you want the Assyrian army to come. Right? Stop it. That's your answer. Let's go home. Trust God. Stop trusting yourself. Right? Trust God. Stop trusting everything else. Trust the Lord. Let's pray. Philip, you know, we're going to just pray and go home. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us. God, Lord, nobody in this room is better than anybody else. It is sheerly your grace. Lord, please, you know every heart here. You know everything we're facing. All the circumstances, Lord, help us. God, please help us in our weakness, in our lack of wisdom. Help us to trust you most. To trust you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.